Chapter 11, A Study in Contrast. June 1986, Oklahoma City. It is Monday, and I arrive at the office early to review my accounts and get ready for trading. I want to be set to go the minute the market opens. No need to waste any time. I like my first trades to hit the floor minutes after the opening bell rings and do not plan to execute my last trade of the week until minutes or even seconds before the market closes on Friday. Laura, my assistant, is only minutes behind me. She's a dedicated employee who is always ready to help me accomplish my tasks. She checks the desk to be certain that our trading equipment is ready. Our equipment consists of our data feed, a telephone with a dedicated line that connects us directly to the trading floor, and a stack of order tickets. We both keep our eyes on the clock so that we'll be seated and ready when the first trade of the week is made on the floor. I sit at my desk and Laura sits opposite me. We are both watching the market numbers, and she is listening intently for trading directions. At 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the bell rings and the game is on. Immediately, the market moves down, and it looks like a sell-off. I respond, "Sell 15 S&Ps at the market." Laura grabs the phone and delivers the order to the floor while she's rapidly jotting down the order on our tickets. 10 minutes pass, and the market shifts. My original 15 contracts are not profitable. The market is going higher. Now it has crossed its opening price and looks to be seeking even higher prices. "Sell another 15 S&Ps at the market. Let's average down. This market is going down. I feel it," I say. Again, Laura quickly follows my commands and executes the order. It's only 8:50 a.m. and the market has been in session for 20 minutes. However, I decide to sell 15 more contracts. I have to keep on averaging down because the market is moving against me. If I just keep selling, when the market shifts, I can make my money back on those 30 contracts that I already executed. "Sell 15 more S&Ps at the market." I see her lift the telephone and call the floor. The tickets are beginning to stack up, and it's only 9 a.m. By 9:15 a.m., I am down thousands of dollars, and I decide to buy. My arbitrage system consists of buying the S&P 100. These are index options that are traded on the OEX exchange. I cover my 45 S&P 500 index future contracts and hold on and hope. It is 10 a.m., and I still have not made money. I limited my losses, but I decide to speed up my trading. I take my shorts in the S&P 500 index to the market and flip to the long side. With every dip and upswing in the market, I am buying or selling. I am working both the S&P 500 index futures and the S&P 100 index options. There's no time to stop and think about it or do any sort of analysis. That will slow us down. Just watch the market as it moves and react to it. Lunchtime comes and goes, but Laura and I snack on whatever we can find that's in the office. We do not break for lunch. Coffee breaks, we don't take them. We can't miss any trading opportunities. If we absolutely must, we race to the bathroom, but we make that trip as seldom as possible. We need to keep our eyes on the market. Throughout the day, we keep the telephone line hot and the pencils busy as we telephone in and write out orders. We make literally thousands of transactions. I am profitable 1 minute and down the next. My heart is pounding and sweat is pouring down my brow. Laura reaches for the aspirin. She has a pounding headache. I simultaneously grab a huge bottle of Tums. My stomach is flipping. I need to ease the ache because we have hours to go before we slay this dragon. When the market closes and the orders finally cease, we are both exhausted. I think I made money, but I'm really not quite certain. In the morning, I'll get the confirmation tickets and the final tally. My trading style resembles a gunslinger in the Old West. Load my gun and fire all the bullets as fast as I can. Then reload and repeat. Follow the process over and over again. Hopefully, the barrage of bullets will hit the target and some of them will even land in the bullseye. Laura and I breathe a sigh of relief, complete our office tasks, and drag out of the office and head for home. Tomorrow, we will begin again. We work very hard and we believe that we're good traders because we concentrate on the market and take our trading very seriously. June 2005, Mobile, Alabama. It is 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. I get a fresh cup of coffee and head for my easy chair. My feet go up and I get comfortable. My trading week is about to begin. or at least my preparation for it. I always begin by watching the business news on Saturday. I need to know about major national and international events that may impact financial markets. My favorite shows are broadcast by Fox. These shows recap the business developments of the past week and preview the important events that are anticipated during the upcoming week. I like to listen to this block of business information for topics that are of special interest to me. I do not look for details, but I want the broad overview. The shows that I watch begin at 9 a.m. and end at 11 a.m. Enough media commentary. After 2 hours of watching the television and reflecting on the economic scene, I enjoy the remainder of my weekend. Play a little golf and enjoy some movie time. No more business until Sunday. On Sunday, I like to read Barron's. I read selected articles and get a feel for the general tone of things. You may read the hard copy or subscribe online, or you may prefer another publication. Over the years, I've found Barron's helpful. Some of the columns are very important to me. I always review the economic calendar. It is helpful because it reviews information about the past week's major reports and also previews scheduled news events for the upcoming week. I also like to read the Trader column. I find it interesting and somewhat helpful. After that, I read the headlines throughout the paper. If an article especially interests me, I read it. However, I do not read the paper word for word. Just like with the television news, I'm not looking for a lot of details. I am looking for the big picture, so that I can be well informed and ready for Monday. Finally, I gather market numbers. I review the yearly opens, I look at the monthly opens and the weekly opens for all major futures indices and for other things that I plan to trade. I study charts from the former week and note how the market and indices responded at certain price levels. I look and visualize what's going on. Finally, I look at the latest daily opens. I determine where the market is trading in relation to where it has been. I want to clearly understand the trading landscape. That way, when I see certain prices and scenarios, I'm ready to respond. I have completed my analysis, and I'm not going to be a deer caught in the headlights. I know through this structure that whatever happened the previous week is erased, and I am mentally ready for what the new week will bring. I actually begin my first look at the real-time market numbers on Sunday afternoon. The S&P Index Futures opens at 5 p.m. I like to watch the open and note and record the opening price, but I do not begin trading. However, if I decide to trade, I do not need an assistant. I can just use the laptop in my office and click the mouse. I have my data feed on the laptop along with my charting programs and my trading platform. After getting the information that I need, I walk away. No need to place a trade. The week is young, and there will be plenty of opportunities to trade when I have a clearer view of where things are going. Now it's time to enjoy an early dinner or check the movie listings. At 7 p.m., I again return to my computer. I'm interested in how the market is trading in relation to its open. If there's been a deviation from the opening price that appears to be significant, I may place a trade. If the market looks too quiet and no direction is discernible, I walk away and enjoy the evening. I get a good night's rest in preparation for the trading week ahead. It's 5 a.m., and I slip out of bed and walk to my office down the hall. I feel a little groggy, but the anticipation of looking at the market always wakes me up. I believe, just like the old adage, that the early bird catches the worm. In fact, I have a trade that I sometimes take that I call the early bird trade. It is placed at 4 a.m. However, I do not always get up for that trade. I only take that trade if I get a telephone call from my son Morgan. And this morning, I did not get a call, so I caught an extra hour of sleep. My early bird trade has very specific criteria. It is only made if, at 3:30 a.m., the direction of the Asian markets, the European markets, and the U.S. markets all agree. For years, I got up early and checked these markets. However, when Morgan turned 16, he decided to start a little business and get up for me. For a small fee, he agreed to check everything out and wake me up only if the criteria had been met. I loved the idea, so I gladly paid him each month for his services. A lot of my students loved the idea, too, and Morgan developed a very lucrative business. He's now 22, and to this day he rises at 3 a.m., looks at the market, and if he sees a trend, he calls all of his customers and alerts them that a lucrative trade may be ripe for the picking. But like I said, on this day I did not get the call, and now it is 5 a.m. In my office at home, I have several monitors and my roadmap software running. My program is busy continuously recording market data for me, as it always does. I look at the price of the S&P futures, the Dow futures, and the NASDAQ futures. In fact, I review all of the markets and look for several things. First, I want to know how each market is trading in relation to its opening price. Is there significant deviation? Next, I want to know if the major futures markets are all moving in the same direction or not. In other words, is there consistency among the markets? Does there seem to be a general consensus that the bulls or the bears are dominant? If so, I might want to start paying more attention. If there is clearly divergence among the major futures markets, I know that I am not interested in trading until they decide to agree. I step away and wait. At 6 a.m., it's time to put my toe in the water. I go back to the computer screen. My special concern is the DAX futures. I note and record the 6 a.m. price because that number is a major pivot number. I use that pivot number in conjunction with the other information that I've gathered to begin trading. If the DAX is trading above its 6 a.m. pivot, I will be looking to the long side. If it is trading down from the 6 a.m. price, I will be looking to the short side. I often place a trade during this time, unless, that is, there is scheduled news coming out soon. I know and understand the significance of news. If there is some report being aired, I take small profits. I'm content with those little gains for the time being because news makes the market too dangerous for a long-term play. I do not want to take the added risk of staying in the market and going for big profits. I will have other chances to ride the waves, but now I want to control risk. If there's no news expected, I trade early in an attempt to take some quick profits and position myself for a free ride. That is, I want to take enough fast profits out of the market to be able to keep a small portion riding. I use my 3 T's approach to accomplish this. I put on a position and hope to exit 2/3 to 3/4 of it quickly and profitably. Then I can move my stop to break even and ride. If a trend is developing, it will likely accelerate as New Yorkers wake up and see it. They will join the move and add to its strength, all the better for me. If I succeed in my early play, my downside will be covered. Once I get into a free ride position, there's no fear and no risk for me. I'm working with the market's money, and I'm able to relax and enjoy playing the game. You do not get a free ride every day. It may only happen once a week or so, but when you get that ride, it is sweet. If the market is especially opinionated and decides to make a major move in one direction or another, you can just sit and glide it like a surfer catching one of those huge Hawaiian waves. It is thrilling, and if you play it correctly, you can make your weekly income during that one day. Even if you make the play and things don't work out, if you have exited a large part of your position with some profit, even if small, you should be okay. Many times I make money even when the trade does not work out like I planned. The trick is to pick the right entry prices at the right times and take some quick profits. Then move your stop to break even. After that, it's all gravy. Sometimes you get a much larger payback than at other times. Just consistently keep losses low. That is the big secret to trading, and of course, it is the hardest part. Trading in the open pits begins on the S&P index futures at 8:30 a.m. As any experienced trader knows, it is a volatile time for the market. There's a lot of jumpy action, and it's easy to lose money fast. Therefore, I'm generally out of most of my early morning positions by this time. Unless, that is, I've been on the winning team long enough to be trading with the market's money. Far more often than not, I am not in the market when the pits open, and I do not enter any market until I watch it trade for a while. However, I use this time to gather information and identify key numbers. I want the information noted on my daily worksheet, and I want to identify support and resistance levels. I look at 30-minute bar charts and my reference bars to get this information. Be cautious with your first trade of the day. It is so easy to get excited and enter before the time is right. If you lose on your first trade, it gets you behind the eight ball. I try to keep my losses in the early morning to a bare minimum. Only lose 1/10 of your daily tilt balance during this time. You want to start profitably so you don't spend your day doing catch-up. Also, if you're down from the beginning, your judgment may be easily impaired, and it is easy to lose more money by trying to make up for the loss that you've already incurred. Therefore, don't let that mouse finger get itchy. Remember that you do not have to trade until you're ready and until the market gives you a clear signal of its intentions. Many times, the wisest decision a trader can make is to sit still and enjoy being a spectator. If I see a trade between 9 and 9:15 a.m., I take it. But if I am not in the market by 9:15, I do not place a trade until 9:30 a.m. I like the market readings on the half hours. Generally, if I'm not in the market by 15 minutes after the hour, I wait for the next 30-minute reading. I follow the market closely until about 10:15 a.m. Hopefully, the market was good and I made some money. However, if I have not executed a trade, it's fine because I still have plenty of time before the market closes. I often eat with my students. I have no interest in the market until 12:30 p.m. At that time, I want to know the S&P price because it is a very important pivot number for the rest of the day. I watch the S&P index futures very carefully between 12:30 and 1:15 p.m. The market often shows its hand after lunch, and I want to identify its direction. If I see a trend developing, I trade. If no trend is discernible, I wait until 2:30 p.m. I do not trade from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. because the market tends to be slow and difficult to read during this time. I get away from the trading platform and entertain myself elsewhere. I make a few telephone calls, talk to the folks in the office, and think. At 2:30 p.m., I come back to the computer and get ready for the close of the session. I review the numbers. As the closing minutes approach, the market does not necessarily follow its daily pattern. It may move in a contrary position. If there are a lot of shorts in the market, the big boys may move things up and squeeze out the sellers into the close. For that reason, I look at the 2:30 p.m. price and note the volume and movement. If I see a pattern, I jump on board. Sometimes, this is a very lucrative play. Although I follow the detailed schedule, that does not mean that if an exceptional opportunity presents itself, I will not take it. If Osama is captured on a Sunday afternoon, you can be sure that I will be at my computer. I'll be buying the market. By the time the opening bell officially rings on Monday, less educated traders will be buying it from me, and I will be taking my money to the bank. Some of my students are very successful, and they do not follow my schedule. They create their own that adapts to their specific needs. For example, my son Winston is a trader. He just graduated from college and has been trading for years. All through college, he earned his spending money by trading the DAX futures on Friday mornings. Monday through Thursday, he slept late. But when Friday arrived, he got out of bed early and went to work. His system worked and he was able to accomplish his goal by focusing on that one market and by trading one day out of the week. Computers and the Internet offer us a great opportunity. As traders, we now have so much more data and the ability to trade whenever we see a good money-making setup. After the market closes, I find a quiet spot and reflect. I review the day and consider the current character of the market. Was it choppy, trending, or volatile? How was my trading? I look at all of my trades, good and bad, and I evaluate them. I want to learn all that I can because when the night market opens, I may well be a player. The S&P Globex market opens at 3:30 p.m. The Sunday open is 5 p.m., and I will record and study those numbers. Just like the night before, I will keep abreast of market developments and be ready to play if I see a winning hand. But I will not rush to the market on a whim. Before I trade, I analyze and formulate a strategy so that the odds will be in my favor and the risks will be minimized. Years ago, trading was very different in a lot of respects. First, the method of executing orders was not electronic. Orders were telephoned into the trading floor. I had no laptop for researching information and getting into and out of markets easily. Aside from this obvious difference, I was different. I spent about 90% of my trading day placing orders and only about 10% of my time thinking about the market. I did very little analysis. I reacted to the numbers that Wall Street was giving me, and I hoped that by making literally thousands of trades, that I would make money. When each weekday ended, I was spent. I did not take a lunch break. I did not take coffee breaks. I rarely left my desk. I remember one day when I had to go to the bathroom. I did not have a stop in place, and when I came back to my desk, my account was down $20,000. I lost $20,000 while I was in the bathroom. Every time I got on the elevator when the market was in session, I was tense and worried. How would the market move while I was in the elevator? Would my account be up or down when I arrived at my floor? I always thought I was prepared. I took my job seriously, and I worked to be well informed. In fact, I worked incredibly hard. But in 1986, my preparation was far different than it is in 2005. Now I use the weekends to prepare. I check media coverage of business and financial news and take note of significant occurrences. I can use my computer to research and analyze while I'm at home. With the help of charts and my records, I identify support and resistance levels and plan for the week ahead. When the markets open on Sunday afternoon, I'm ready. I've formulated a strategy, and I'm ready to execute it if and when the chance presents itself. Today, my focus is shifted. I spend about 90% of my time thinking and analyzing, and only about 10% trading. I appreciate and understand the significance of planning and preparation. I may not trade continuously, but my software collects market data continuously. I'm able to check the numbers and find the trends. My trading is not hectic, it is calculated and concentrated. As I noted in the beginning of the book, I do not trade for the fun or excitement of the trade. I trade to make money. Interestingly, I make more money because I don't waste my bullets. No more gunslinging. I take calculated aim. Lessons learned. Use the weekend to get informed about financial events. Study charts of the past week's trading and identify key numbers that may be reached in the week ahead. Learn about upcoming scheduled news events. Visualize the big picture of the market. Plan a weekly strategy. Get ready to take calculated aim.